Hello and welcome to the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner all here with you. Today on the show, Kelis Raminet coming on at 425. K-State beat writer for the Eagle and the Star. Around College Basketball at 525. Mitch's Jabroni of the Week, 550. A day late today because we were both gone for the second hour yesterday. Got a big question for you regarding K-State hoops that we're going to get to here in the open. You can see that question and respond to it on Twitter right now at the game KMAN. It has been retweeted there. I took care of that myself. You're welcome, Mitch, doing my work this time around. As always, any of your questions or comments can go that way, the game KMAN, or you can call us 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350. K-State did not play last night. Iowa State lost at Texas. TCU beat Texas Tech at home. I tell you what, man, TCU and that victory, they seem like an energized fan base right now in a very a program that's trending in the right direction and seem like everybody's pulling and pushing whatever you want to say in the same direction as far as that is concerned. And that sort of leads me to what my question is today about K-State basketball and where this thing is going right now, because the future seems to be the much bigger topic at hand throughout this entire season, right? The future and where it's going has hung over the entire 2016-17 season because there is so much disagreement seemingly and just people drawing lines in the sands with where they're at on this basketball program and where it is headed. So K-State loses to Kansas on Monday, and almost immediately, like we talked about some yesterday, it just seems like any kind of buzz that would have been momentum, excitement from winning a top five game on the road at Baylor like they did on Saturday has just gone away. It just doesn't seem like there is a whole lot in terms of excitement and people really feeling good about where things are going necessarily, even though you did just have, I mean, in a lot of ways, the biggest win that this program has had in the regular season since 1994 when they beat number one Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. And that is sort of a bizarre thing, and there has to be reasons for that. And I just feel like the biggest thing is that most people, the majority of people right now, are feeling like the end, where this thing is headed, is not where they want it to be headed, so therefore it affects how they're viewing what is happening right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think that if you're a K-State fan, there is not a whole lot that has gone on this season to pull you really far, to the other side. I mean, if you don't like where things are right now, there's been plenty of ammo for that. If you are okay with where things are headed and you have faith in the current core of this team and what they can accomplish over the next few years, wins like the Baylor win certainly give you plenty of ammo for that as well. So I think that K-State fans are kind of sitting on their hands waiting to see exactly what the end result is going to be of this season, right? I mean, we can't determine for sure which side is going to be correct until we find out if K-State's going to make the NCAA tournament, and we're still about a month away from finding that out.
Well, and see, a lot of that, I don't even know that that matters, and that's some of what we're going to get into. I mean, that's leading it down a little bit further, and I'm going to wait to divulge this exact question, but let me throw another question at you here and come at this a different way. How many teams in the Big 12 you think feel less excited and energized about their program right now?
I don't know. I mean, are you going to make the case that Texas is more energized with Shaka Smart right now than K-State?
I would say yes, because they've got a lot of future NBA talent on that team, and Shaka Smart is still, one, a coach who outperformed expectations in year one, so he's got more of a grace period because of that. Taking that team, to a top four finish in the Big 12 last year, I think was better than most people expected. And just his reputation at VCU, I think people still have more faith there.
I would say no if you're going to measure it based on what fan support in the arena has been. I mean, it's not, Bramlage hasn't been full, but...
Well, sure, much different. You're dealing with a much different situation there. You know what? This is not what I wanted to get into. Take Texas.
Okay.
Take Texas. Who else?
Iowa State.
Okay, I think Iowa State's in about the same boat, yes.
Okay. That's probably about it. The next two on the list I probably wouldn't side with, but the next two would be Texas Tech and Oklahoma.
So that's kind of my point here. I mean, you have a lot of great coaches in the league, and we have talked about that once Brad Underwood was hired at Oklahoma State. That seemed to be the point where everybody turned around, and Jamie Dixon at TCU, and went, well, man, look at all these good coaches in the conference. And that lends itself to, I think, fan bases being excited, you know, being pumped up about where their programs are going. You know, maybe you could argue Texas Tech, just because Chris Beard's fallen back a little bit from where they were starting when they were tracking to the NCAA tournament. Now they're not. I would still argue that just because he's a new guy and they're still in the honeymoon period, they're probably more excited, and they're still a team that's competitive in the Big 12. I think you're looking at, depending on how you slice it, two schools, I would say, probably two schools that feel as bad or less excited, you know, I guess, about where things are going with their basketball programs. And when you have so many schools that are trending in the right direction right now in the conference and so many great coaches, Oklahoma State, Brad Underwood, a snapshot in time right now, I think they would be pretty excited about where things are going. It looks like they've got a good shot now at the NCAA tournament. TCU and Jamie Dixon was really my launching point with this. They're clearly moving in the right direction. I mean, Kansas, West Virginia, Baylor, they're steady at the top. Oklahoma still has Lon Kruger and is coming off of a Final Four season last year. So everybody else is moving that way. So if you're going to get there, now that we've sort of established that, if you are going to get to that point where you are a fan base that is unified and feels good about where things are headed, what can possibly happen the rest of this season to have that be the case going into 2017-2018?
Well, if you're talking about 100% unification and everybody being on board, I don't know if there's
not
a 100 single thing.
Well, there's not 100% with anybody anywhere in any fan base on anything.
Okay.
But you know what?
But yeah, I mean,
the majority of people.
Sweet 16. I think Sweet 16 would probably get you there because you would be losing your most important piece in DJ Johnson, but you're not going to get to a Sweet 16 unless you're seeing some pretty great performances out of guys that are really young, right? I mean, a Dean Wade, a Xavier Sneed, a Kamau Stokes, guys that have multiple years left still ahead of them at K-State. Yes, DJ Johnson would be a big part of that in getting to the Sweet 16, but you're not going to see Xavier Sneed scoring, you know, 4 points in an NCAA tournament game and K-State still winning that game. I think you would see enough out of that that you would feel pretty excited about K-State moving forward if they can fill that 5 spot going into next year.
Well, I'm curious to see everybody's responses again to Game KMAN. I tweeted out that question, and we got a bunch of them, and it was pretty par for the course as far as what I expected. But I would be curious to what the general consensus is on what could happen this year that would make you feel excited about the future of the men's basketball program here. And not only what would do it for you, but what do you think would push the majority of the fan base to feel like that? Because right now it just feels like, you know, one, there's a decent amount of apathy there, I think, from some people. There are probably more people who are just confused and aren't totally sure about how they're feeling or what they're feeling right now. And all that just creates a really interesting, sort of awkward environment, I think, with the fan base right now around the basketball program. And that's not great, you know, because I think you give a coach and a program more leeway to have some slip-ups and mistakes when you ultimately are confident in the program because of what you've seen in the past. Based on past results, whether it's the coach at your school or the coach somewhere else, and knowing and thinking and being confident in, hey, ultimately, they're moving in the right direction. It's not always going to be just a straight shot angled up. If you're looking at a graph, it's not always just going to be a perfect angle. It may look more like an EKG sometimes going up and down. But in general, if you take a big snapshot, things are moving in the right direction the entire time. And we've seen it happen here. You know, I mean, Frank Martin had some stupid losses, some awful losses. I can remember the Elite Eight team losing at home to a really bad Oklahoma State team.
He lost at home to Alabama last night, by the way.
Yeah, in 4 overtimes. Look, at K-State, he had some bad losses. But, okay, if you want to use that example, they're going to the tournament. South Carolina is going to the tournament this year. K-State went to the tournament 4 out of 5 years. They lost that Colorado game that we referenced fairly recently on the show when Rodney Magruder's shot gets waved off. They're like out of the tournament projections after being a preseason top 5 team. That was in January. They wound up being a 5 seed by the end of the season. They found a way, and I think most people trusted that in the end they were going to get there. I'm not sure that the same thing is existing there right now. You know, and I think even at a school like Oklahoma is a good example of that right now. They're going through a rough patch this year. This is much worse than what they thought this team was going to be, even after losing all that talent last year. But you know what? They saw that team make the Final Four, and they've seen him just year in, year out be consistent with the success. I think they feel good about where things are going to be next year, 2 years from now. You can excuse more of that in the short term. When you don't have the ultimate trust and confidence there, people are going to view the slip-ups much differently, come down harsher when things are bad, like losing at home to TCU, and not rally around things that are good, like winning on the road at top five Baylor.
Well, and I think the reason that there isn't as much of that faith doesn't have as much to do with what K-State's done the last couple seasons in missing the postseason altogether. I think there'd be a lot more of that faith if in year one and year two, K-State had done more in postseason play. If K-State in its Big 12 championship season had managed to get to the Sweet 16 that year, had proven that they could win tournament games. And I know that it was a really tough draw for them to go up against Kentucky in an 8-9 game the next year, but we'll just use that first year as an example. Had they established there that they had the mental edge to them to win a couple tournament games, I think there would be a little bit more benefit of the doubt given to them that they could figure that out this time around.
100% agree. And that is why, to me, I think that what we will see from people, and we'll read the responses, but what we will see from people and what my response would be, it's going to take postseason wins. And in general, that means the NCAA tournament. You'd think likely for this team going to a Sweet 16, winning a couple games, getting to the second weekend, making that type of a run. I think that would push most people in the right direction here and feeling confident and excited about the future of the program. I really do. I think that would get it done. And a lot of it is based on the fact that we just haven't seen it. There's two things at work here. One, the NCAA tournament, rightly or wrongly, because it can be a double-edged sword, is really how we measure coaches and success and, you know, what programs are doing. Kansas, to me, the best Kansas team that I've seen in the last 10 years probably, outside of their national championship team, which is obvious, the next best team to me was that 2009-2010 team that was Sherron Collins, Cole Aldrich. They were number one, dominant throughout the year. They lost to Northern Iowa in the second round of the tournament. Kansas fans don't remember that team. They're going to remember the team that went to play Kentucky in the national championship game and went to the Final Four, which was not as good of a team. They're going to remember that team more fondly because they had tournament success. That's our measuring stick. That's our barometer in college basketball. And here are the cold hard facts. Bruce Weber has not won a tournament game since he's come here, and he's won one tournament game in the last 10 years. So, yeah, I don't think there is that ultimate confidence from people. That's what the end game is in college hoops, is having success in the tournament. And it's just not been produced right now, and you don't have anything to draw back on, yes, to make you feel confident that that's what's happening. So to me, the answer that you arrive at is make a run in the NCAAs.
And it may be the one exception to that if you're going to talk about, I mean, you were talking about unifying the fan base and getting at least like, you know, 80% of the fan base on board, if you're going to look at that as your barometer. If you want to say just getting to the majority, maybe you could do that by being in an 8-9 situation and winning that first game, and then you lose to the one seed in the second round. I could see how you could still make a case that there's some positive momentum there, because at a certain point you have to realize that it has as much to do with your opponent as it is yourself. And if you're playing Gonzaga in the second round and you lose to that, that's not an indication that your team can't win in the tournament. That's just you playing a really good opponent. But if you're going to totally turn around the fan base and have a, you know, great ticket sales going into next year and everything like that, yeah, you're probably going to need to win two
games. Keep in mind, you're in a hole. I mean, the last 2 years have been bad. You haven't made any kind of postseason. That puts you at more of a deficit than just, yes, okay, looking at it from in a vacuum. All right, you were an 8-9 seed and you won one game and then lost the next game. I don't think that is going to do enough to push the majority of people to being genuinely excited about where the program's going. That's where I think it does take that extra upset win. You've dug yourself a hole with the last two seasons. You've lost, you know, any kind of the equity built up there. So you're going to have to do something extra special then to get the majority of people on board. Well, you know, there's two sides of this at work. You're not starting from the middle. You're starting over towards the left, and you need to get it back to the right.
No, I get it. Part of the reason that I mentioned that scenario was because if you're in an 8-9 game, that doesn't mean that you just barely snuck into the tournament. That probably means that you went 10-8 in Big 12 play over the course of this season. And having a 10-8 league season, I think, carries a little bit of weight as well, as opposed to going 9-9 and just sneaking in.
I don't think so. Again, I'm telling, like, 10-8 is fine. And I think if you just look at the season in and of itself, not in the context of the entire era, yeah, sure. But if you want people to be excited, sneaking in at 10-8, I mean, the only...
Yeah, that's not sneaking in. But.
Well, it's... getting in at 10-8, the only game that's left on the schedule that could be a really big win would be at West Virginia. Maybe 10-8 with a win at West Virginia, maybe, but we just saw it. Like, winning at Baylor and then coming back with a loss right then to Kansas, you lose your biggest opportunity to really parlay that momentum. I mean, there's just not that many opportunities left. I think if you pile up wins against Oklahoma, Iowa State, Texas Tech, the teams that are left on your schedule, that's not getting people really rah-rah excited. I think they'll be okay with it, but that's not getting people excited. So that's why I asked that question today. Let us know what you think. The Game KMAN on Twitter. Kelis Robinette's coming up next. We'll ask him what we've just been discussing. You're listening to The Game.